Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This week, Capital's Greg Burns on his new life in Sydney as Nova's Greg Burns, and Ira Glass on why he's putting his radio storytelling on the stage with dancers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
David Lloyd's here too with this week's Radio Moments, and Stuart Clarkson has the latest Radio Today news. But first, three acts, two dancers and one radio host. That's the title of a show next week at the Royal Festival Hall, starring one of the world's foremost radio journalists. Ira Glass invented and presents the award-winning This American Life on NPR. He was the founding father of the podcast Serial, which has now been downloaded more than 12 million times worldwide. By way of introduction, here he is in 2012 talking to me in Barcelona. We like stories at Radio Days Europe, and now we're going to tell the story of a young American journalist who started a show called This American Life. It's Ira Glass. That was a brilliant presentation.
That was
Thank you. Very professional
intro. I very much appreciated that.
Well, you said that we should always keep ourselves on the tape if we're reporters. This isn't, hasn't got any tape, of course.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I still say the word tape.
But did you enjoy doing the session?
Did I enjoy talking about yourself? No, I would have to say I did not enjoy it at all. What it felt like was I felt like I was talking very quickly because I was trying to keep my remarks to half an hour. And I felt like I wasn't speaking slowly enough for the non-English speakers to understand. And there was too much bragging. And I think that I came off as just deeply, obnoxiously American. Instead of my intention, which was to come off as briskly efficient in imparting information. So I think I charmed no one.
I was charmed, Ira, if that helps.
That's very nice.
Tell me about the whiff of broccoli, which I thought was your finest aphorism.
Well, I mean, I think that our show, I mean, we're not the only show that does this. There's a number of shows that are trying to exist within the tradition of public broadcasting, that is, be mission-driven shows. With voices that you don't hear anywhere else and stories you don't hear anywhere else. But we take it as our goal to be just as aggressively entertainments. There were entertainments. We're not ashamed about that. We edit for entertainment. We want things to be funny and moving and it be paced in a way that people will stay with them and that's the next thing for public broadcasting to do. And obviously a lot of people do this. We're not unique, but that's very much, you know, where we see in the United States, that's where we see our niche is trying to push the whole system, being one of the most visible shows that's just out for fun.
And what was the future of radio now in the United States?
Well, truthfully, like public radio is doing great in the United States. Audience grows every year, revenue grows every year, and then a bunch of shows have started to exist because of podcasting that could have never have existed 5 or 10 years ago. The most interesting new show on radio, I think, anywhere in the world is this show called Radiolab that comes out of WNYC and was first distributed really as a podcast and then got an international following that way and now is on the radio all over the United States and is just reinventing the aesthetics of how to do a radio documentary show. And they don't even call it a documentary show because they know that would be a turnoff. It's a science show. They never say that it's a science show because they know that would be a turnoff. And it's chatty and funny. And then the sound aesthetics are as advanced as anything that anybody in Europe does, where the sound and the music kind of burbles up around them as they speak. And the music is composed for the show by one of the hosts who's a composer. And it's beautiful.
One final question. I was astonished when you said that you can sell, you don't call them advertisements, do you? You're underwriting messages. You can sell for a higher rate on your podcast than you can on your radio transmission. How did that happen?
That's just true of the podcasting business, that advertisers think that podcasts are cool and new and they'll pay more. Radio is so old and stupid that we don't get as much money for it.
Ira Glass, thank you so much.
Okay. Nice job. Oh, my God.
So, 4 years on, Ira Glass is taking to the stage. But this is no Radio 1 Roadshow or Jingle Bell Ball. Here's the trail.
I'm Ira Glass for This American Life. What's this show? Well, I tell stories. They dance. Stories about love and losing those you love and about what it is like to dance for a living. And they pull out all the stops.
Like every trick I have.
Sparklers.
Rain curtains, sparklers.
Batons.
Batons.
And yes, we know nobody listens to my radio show thinking, you know what this needs is some dancers. Nobody sits through a dance show thinking, you know what this needs is a guy talking and playing clips of audio. But we brought down the house at Carnegie Hall. This, I'll be completely sincere, is one of my favorite things I have ever been part of.
And here's Ira Glass earlier this week talking to Radio 4's Justin Webb.
I've been touring in this show where I tour with a dance troupe, the Monica Bill Barnes Dance Company, and I tell stories, they dance, which sounds awful, I know. But I chose to work with them. I wanted to work with them because there was something in their work that felt exactly like what we're trying to achieve on the radio, like the feeling we're trying to give and the way the stories work, except they never use words. And I just thought, like, well, wouldn't it be interesting to try to mix what I do, which is all words, and what they do, which is no words.
Three acts, two dancers, and one radio host is at the Royal Festival Hall next Tuesday, August the 16th. And there are some tickets still available. Hopefully, we'll have Ira on a future episode of the Radio Today programme too. Now Greg Burns. After leaving Capital's Drive Time show, he's fetched up in Sydney, looking after the morning show at Nova, where he's been reunited with his old boss, Paul Jackson. Here he is with Radio Today Australia's Blair Sullivan.
Greg Burns from Nova 969. Mate, how are you going?
Hey, mate. Yeah, it's good to hear that as a call.
So listen, what made you go, I'm out of Capital Radio in London doing Drive, I'm going to Sydney to join Nova 969?
Well, it's a simple story, but there's a kind of a long version of it as well, in a way. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's one of my favourite cities. Obviously, I've worked with Paul Jackson before, who's been fantastic to work for on two previous occasions. But the slightly longer version, which I think is probably worth saying, is that I spent a lot of time in Sydney from around 2003. I was coming out to Sydney. Well, I'd initially come out to Australia to do stand-up at the Adelaide Festival and fall in love with the Australian way of life, and then decided that because I'm sort of a bit of a city boy, I'd quite fancy going from a slightly smaller town like Adelaide to see what, you know, a city like Sydney was like, and then fell in love even more with this as a place. And I started coming out here quite a lot, quite regularly. I had an agent out here. I was coming out here performing all the time. And I think at the time, towards early 2006, late 2005, I was feeling like I've been doing radio for quite a while. The radio I was doing at that time, I was starting to get a little bit jaded with. I wasn't really in the right place with it, and I was coming out to Sydney even more. And then March 2006, pretty much the day I got back from Sydney, when I was really looking to move things on, I got a meeting with Virgin Radio and with Paul Jackson, who I'd never met actually at that point. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about things. He was asking what I wanted to do in the future. And literally, because I just pretty much stepped off a plane from Sydney, I said, well, look, if I'm honest, what I'm looking at doing is I'm thinking of shaking things up. I'm thinking of moving to Sydney and pursuing stuff over there. And he was like, well, okay, that's an interesting thing. He said, if you don't move to Sydney, let me know, because I can't offer you anything full-time at Virgin, but I can offer you some shows, some weekend shows, and get you in doing some swing work. And that was kind of too tempted not to do. So I decided not to take the move and to take on Virgin. And then a year and a half later, Paul moved to Capital and gave me the chance to really fulfill what is genuinely one of my biggest childhood dreams, and that was to move to Capital. And then 10 years later, just over 10 years later, after that all happened, he gave me the chance to move to Sydney. And when it got to this point where we were seriously talking about it happening, I didn't even know if Paul would remember that first meeting and what we were talking about. And I still remember him saying, the serendipity of me bringing you out to Sydney when the first meeting we ever had was you saying that you wanted to move to Sydney, and here we are 10 years later. It was kind of the reason I did move to Sydney 10 years ago was because of Paul, and now the reason I have moved is because of Paul, and it's just it's come full circle. I just can't believe it was 10 years ago.
So tell us, what is Paul Jackson like?
I mean, as I say, I've worked with him over different brands now, and now a different country. When I first met him at Virgin, he was just you know, it was Virgin was a fantastic rock and roll party station. It was an incredible sort of community there at Virgin. Just full of really great people. Everyone sort of one big team. And I think when we went over to Capital, prior to that, I'd been going through quite a rough time. A lot of the background of Capital, things like the big live events, they'd stopped doing those. I think there was just, they just needed someone to bring in and bring the team together and put life back into it. And I think that's what Paul did. Is he came in, he shook things up, he brought back a lot of what Capital needed and made it just that big station again. And I think I'd say that's what he's like. He's good at coming in and you know, shaking things up. From what I know, that's something very similar as he's done here at Nova. It's come in, given it direction. He's someone that picks a direction for a station and knows where to move it. And of course, he's also done the same by bringing Smooth in and bringing, you know, taking a station which wasn't doing that great, from what I understand, and made it into Smooth, which of course, you know, is now it's now the number, we've got number one and number two in the marketplace. Yeah. So I think he's someone that's good. Someone that picks a direction, knows where a station should go, knows where you should go as a broadcaster. Well, certainly that's what I've found, because the two jobs he's given me, it's yet to be seen whether this third job is going to be the success of the other two have been. I think it's okay to say that. Sure. He's certainly known where to push me in the past, and I hope that's what's going to happen here in Sydney.
We're 2 weeks down on air with Nova in Sydney. How are you finding it?
Yeah, I'm finding it great. I think it's fortnight yesterday since I arrived in Sydney. It's my second week on air, and I think it's going to feel real, to be honest. Genuinely feels very, very surreal. It's just so exciting. I'll be honest, I think one of the reasons I don't think jet lag has been the problem. I think the problem has been when I've been trying to go, every time I wake up and realise, remember I'm in Sydney and I just want to go out and explore. I'm not getting proper sleep because it's just all a bit too exciting to take it in. It's great being here. The station is very vibrant. It's just incredible sort of walking around, looking out onto, you know, the harbour, and it's everything. I mean, I was quite aware of Nova, obviously, before I came out, partly because Paul had been here, so I always had a vested interest, but especially since I've been knowing I was coming out here, I've spent a lot of time, you know, Kate, Tim and Marty have been basically my breakfast show back in London for the last few months as I've been getting up in the morning, so I've been very aware of it. It's quite surreal to finally be here, but it's been, just so exciting. It's been really nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. It's quite scary. I mean, going to a new job is scary, going to a new radio station is scary, but going to a new, you know, the other side of the world is obviously going to be quite daunting. But I've never had any doubt that it was going to be worthwhile, and it certainly has been so far.
What's the main differences you've picked up between working in Australian radio versus working back in the UK?
To be honest, there's not really been any major differences so far. I mean, there's the practical side of things. It is obviously a different playout system, which is taking a little bit of getting my head around. It's just different. No better, no worse. No more complicated, no more simple. It's just different. So that's been on a practical level kind of an obvious thing. But to be honest, I feel like I've come from Capital to something quite similar. It's a really young, vibrant office. It's really fun, full of characters. I think on air, there are similarities. You know, obviously, both big hit music formats. Music is quite in sync. I think if anything, it seems to be that here maybe go a bit sooner with tunes than maybe they do back in the UK, which is quite exciting. But so far, it hasn't felt that different. I've come home to home, to be honest.
Your first day on air at Nova, Fitz and Whipper gave you a nice welcome. Have you worked out how you're going to get them back yet?
I may have some thoughts. I mean, that's something. To be honest, I've been more than aware. Again, since I knew I was coming out here, I've been all over the. I've been watching the Nova social media. I'm a big fan of Fitz and Whipper. I've I've seen everything they've done on the website. So it wasn't, I was going to say it wasn't the biggest shock that they did a wind-up. I was expecting a wind-up. Was I expecting it on day one, hour one? Maybe not.
First days on the job.
Yeah.
Very daunting and nerve-wracking for anyone going
you
in there.
You want it to go to plan. You want your first day to go to plan.
First impressions are vital. Mm-hmm. We've got a new morning announcer at Nova. His name's Greg Burns. Mm-hmm. And Burnsy's going to be coming in to do his first shift this morning. The thing is, when he goes to air for the very first time to introduce himself to Sydney, we're going to completely take him off air.
Yeah, the system's going to cut out. He's not going to know what to do. Because, I mean, on your first day, you're right. The last thing you want to do is to end up looking silly.
Go! Playing Sydney's fresh hits. This is Greg Burns. No. Oh.
Is he trying to play something?
Yo, what's going on, man? This is Drake.
Hey, it's Justin Bieber.
Oh, no!
Oh, no. I panicked. Oh, Benzo. Oh, Benzo.
What's going on? He doesn't know what's going on!
Is there nothing going out?
I think I watched his face on what may happen back. But yeah, I've had more than a couple of thoughts, yeah.
Okay, so you've come from the UK to work in Australia. We've seen a couple of Australians go over to the UK and work over there in, on air and stuff as well. Have you worked with any of the Australian guys over there?
Yeah, Jono Coleman, yeah. I've been in touch with Jono. I've not actually seen Jono yet because we pretty much passed in the airport. He's out in London at the moment. Well, certainly he's been in the UK. I think he's in Europe at the moment, so I'll catch up with him too. So Jono and I have worked together. I used to cover Jono's breakfast show. He obviously had a long, great career over there, which if I could in any way replicate what Jono did in the UK in Australia, I'd be very, very happy.
Greg Burns, thanks for the catch-up.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Hope I'll meet you soon.
RadioToday.com.au. Blair Sullivan with Greg Burns. Good luck to him. Radio Moments in a minute, but news now with Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Yes, hello Trevor. Lots going on this week in our industry, not least the Q2 2016 RAJAR figures. Among the key points this quarter, debuts for Talk Radio with a reach of 224,000 across the UK, TalkSport 2 on 285,000, and Virgin Radio impressing with a 409,000 reach. Mellow Magic got 380,000 and Magic Chill 233,000. Digital radio listenings at a new high, 45.3% in quarter two. Elsewhere, LBC, the number one commercial station now in London on share, 6.6% it's at. Capital still the biggest commercial station in London on reach, followed by Kiss Heart, and then Magic. Good books as well for Radio 4 and 5 Live, plus 6 Music, which is up 10% year on year to 2.27 million listeners a week. Also, one of the two Community Radio Awards events has been cancelled. Organisers of the CommunityRadioAwards.com, which were due to take place in Preston at the end of August, say the decision is because of a combination of health problems and personal issues. Refunds are being offered to those who entered or paid for tickets. The CommunityRadioAwards.co.uk are still scheduled to take place in Birmingham after the Community Media Association conference in September. A hospital radio presenter has been suspended after broadcasting topless and posting a video clip on Facebook. Nigel Bateman from Radio Broad Green in Liverpool had joked he was naked because the studio was too hot. He says the station's committee was unimpressed and says he was suspended because the video was inappropriate. BBC Radio York's managing editor Simon Patton is leaving the station after 30 years at the corporation. He used to run Radio Humberside before the BBC was at stations including Pennine and Viking. Also after 30 years in radio, it's farewell to Ben Hart, who leaves the industry this month. He spent the last 5 years in a senior role at Arqiva, and before that was the MD of RCS UK. Ofcom has a new content group director. Kevin Backhurst joins from RTE. He previously had a long career at the BBC, including running the BBC News Channel and being in charge of the corporation's newsroom. And Radio 2's Jeremy Vine and Radio 1's Tina Dehealy are teaming up to present Crime Watch on BBC One from the autumn. They take over from Radio 4's Kirsty Young. And that's the latest from RadioToday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phonebox, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
We start this week with a letter to The Times, dated 9th of August 1967. Here it is. It's all about the BBC's deplorable surrender of cultural values. And the reason for the criticism, the name change, the proposed name change from the BBC Home Service to Radio 4.
In one sense, I suppose, we're like a bride on the eve of her wedding. We go on being the same person, we hope, but we'll never again have the same name. Tomorrow at 6:35 a.m., we become Radio 4, and in spite of DJ Chris Denning, who's just appeared on television with a shirt carrying the words Death to the Home Service, in spite of him, we expect to live happily ever afterwards.
This week, 16 years ago, we lost one of the great interviewers. Admittedly best known in television, he was also a radio name.
The World at One. This is Robin Day with 40 minutes of news and comment this Tuesday lunchtime. A meeting of the TUC General Council this afternoon will consider action on the dispute between Rupert Murdoch's newspapers and the two big print unions.
Sir Robin Day, who died this week in the year 2000. Resigning on air in a fit of pique is often tempting, isn't it? The temptation proved too much this week, 23 years ago, for DLT.
Changes are being made here that go against my principles, and I just cannot agree with them.
Am I sorry I left? No. Am I sorry I did it on air? No, not at all. I would do exactly the same thing over again.
The famous resignation of DLT, who had hosted Radio 1 Breakfast and Drive in his time. He walked out this week in 93. Now, it's our birthday spot. Don't you just miss those days when radio had spots? Who's at the top of the list today? My goodness, he's 65.
First up after the news, I'm going to be talking to Jeremy Hunt, the Culture Secretary, about broadband. It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 6th of December. American officials have condemned WikiLeaks after the website published a list of hundreds of facilities said to be vital for American security. Every community in Britain has been promised that they'll have access to the fastest broadband networks within 5 years. Excuse me. And Egypt has called in international shark experts to investigate a series of attacks in the Red Sea. Pardon me, coughing fit.
James Naughtie, 65 this week, recently retired from the Today programme. This week, 31 years ago, a major strike. All British broadcast media, BBC and commercials staged an unprecedented 24-hour news blackout.
This is the BBC World Service broadcasting from London. We're sorry that we're not able to bring you our usual programmes. This is because many members of staff in the external services and throughout the BBC are striking for 24 hours. As you may have heard earlier this week, this action is in protest against the decision by the BBC's Board of Governors to withdraw a television documentary about extremism in Northern Ireland, following a request from the British Home Secretary. Our normal programmes will resume with our transmission at 23 hours Greenwich Mean Time later today.
Sombre announcements this week in 85. The programme was later broadcast with minor amendments included. BBC procedures were tightened and some months later the Director-General Alistair Milne was asked to step down. More broadcasting controversy that same week, 31 years ago, impacting on the pirate radio ships in the North Sea. The government tried to starve out the broadcasters by stopping their supplies. A boat called the Dioptric Surveyor was chartered by the DTI to keep watch on the Caroline ship, the Ross Revenge, and the laser ship, the MV Communicator. And the presenters on board responded, as you might imagine.
Get your copy of I Spy for the DTI by the Moronic Surveyors on Farce Records. Single catalog number DTI 007. Extended Whitehall Dance Mix catalog number DTI 12007. With the record, you receive a picture bag with a full-color aerial photo of the MV Communicator, the home of Laser 558. Support us. Stop by your nearest record store today and buy a copy of I Spy for the DTI by the Moronic Surveyors.
Memories of the attempts to crush the last generation of offshore pirate broadcasters this week in 85. Now, we can't go on without this one. It's 1991.
35 minutes, hit a four over the wicketkeepers. Angus, for goodness sake, stop it.
Yes, Lawrence. Lawrence played extremely well.
He hit a four over the wicketkeeper's head, and he was out for nine. And Tuffle came, batted for 12 minutes, and then was caught by Haynes on Patson for two.
Agnew and Johnston famously corpsing this week in 91 on Test Match Special. More stations in Scotland this week in 88, at the weekends at least, as Clyde split into Clyde FM and Radio Clyde.
In a few seconds, it's here. Clyde FM, your alternative choice to Radio Clyde every weekend from 4 o'clock on Fridays. More music, all the hits, all the new, competitions with your kind of prize. Remember, it's about choice. Clyde FM on 102.5 VHF stereo, or Radio Clyde as she's always been for you on 1152 medium wave. Your alternative services. Make your choice.
The early splitting of Clyde before the Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 days. So with Casey Kasem hosting his last American Top 40 28 years ago.
Coming up is my special report on a place where it's against the law to boogie.
Mark Page preparing for his Radio 1 debut 33 years ago.
I don't think you'll have heard anything quite like it before. At least I hope not.
And the death of Robert Robinson from Radio 4's Start the Week and Brain of Britain 5 years ago.
Which is the only British bird of the genus Troglo? Oh, I really do have to run at these all.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments! David Lloyd's here every week with his Radio Moments. Thanks to him, also Stuart Clarkson, Blair Sullivan and Hayley Hayes. This has been a TDC production, and I'll see you next time. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.